Hey, everybody. It is good to see you today. This is an unusual circumstance, but we're making the best of it. And so I hope you've had a blessed week. We've been praying for you, and I know you've been praying for us. Let me just remind you of a few things, and then we're going to get into our worship time together. Sunday night at 6 o'clock, I'm going to be doing a call to prayer on Facebook Live, and so you're invited to join us. We're just going to be praying Sunday night. And so that's at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday at 6 o'clock, I'll be doing a Facebook Live prayer time and Bible study. And so you're encouraged to join us there and get the word out. So we'd love to have a lot of people involved in that. Next Sunday, we'll do the same thing again that we're doing today. You'll find the link on the Facebook page. And so you'll be doing that. Let me just remind you also, if you have a need or know somebody that has a need that's a part of our church, please let us know. Call the church office, and we will see if we can meet that need. And also, if you'd like to volunteer to run errands, if you need somebody to run to the medicine store or to groceries or whatever, if you'd like to volunteer to help us with that, call the church office. We'll get you signed up. So if you have a need, please let us help you. And then finally, just a reminder that the church is still functioning. We still have bills to pay and stuff. And just encourage you to give. You can give by dropping your offering by the church office, just like so many people have done this week. You can also give in the mail. We're going to be sending everybody a letter and giving some instructions about how to give. And so you'll get that first part of the week. And so just a reminder that we love you, we care for you, and we're here to serve you. So we're going to begin a worship service now. So I'm going to pray and then turn it over to Thomas and Jason on the piano. So Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Father, for our time together. We pray that you'll continue to be with us. You'll bless us. You'll give us encouragement today as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I want to invite you to sing with me and Jason as we sing a great song called His Mercy Is More.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one more psalm this morning, and it just talks about the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate? Yours is Amen. Our Father, we come and we thank you for the powerful, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you during times like this that we can still worship, that you still make a way for us to still be the church, for us to still worship together, still assemble together. Father, we pray for our nation in these times that you bless it, you heal it, and you turn it towards you. Father, we give you glory for all that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, amen. Thank you, Thomas and Jason. I also want to thank Wayne Tucker. He is the guy behind the camera that's got all this running. So, Wayne, thank you so much for all you're doing. So, let me pray, and we'll get into our message. Father, help us today. Help me to preach your word. Help the whole, Father, may the Holy Spirit help us to all hear and encourage us and strengthen us. We'll trust you to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think it would be an understatement to say that this week has been historic. Very sobering events going on, isn't it? We're hearing words of the spread of the virus, of closures, of limits on gathering. Even Tom Brady is no longer with the Patriots. He's going to play with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, it's incredible time. One of the things, though, that I'm hearing in this day is, well, the church is canceled. We're not having church anymore. And I always tell people, no, that's not accurate. We're having church. Our services may be postponed. Our gatherings are canceled. We're not having committee meetings, those kinds of things. But the church is not canceled. As a matter of fact, it continues. It continues to be very active. As a matter of fact, I believe this is a massive opportunity for the church to reclaim and to relearn what it means to be the church. To refocus our energies on how we can be the church scattered. In the New Testament, church wasn't about a place to go. It was about a people to belong to. The church was not just about going somewhere on a Sunday morning. It was about doing something every day. Even today, if you'll stop and think about it, the church spends more time scattered than it does gathered. But we've spent so much time and energy focused on doing church, on the gatherings, the meetings, the programs, and all we do inside the building. And we've not spent near enough energy and focus on being the church the rest of the week. And so I want to try and remedy that a little bit today and talk with us about how we can be the church, how we can continue to function as the church. Even though we're not gathered, we can be scattered and still be the church. So if you have a Bible, open it with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. That's our text for the day. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And if you're sitting there, if you wouldn't mind standing as we read God's word together. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is God's word. It is to be listened to. It is to be understood. And most importantly, it is to be done. God bless. Have a seat. This text reminds us of three things that we need to know about the impact we can have and should have as God's people in our everyday life. Number one, Jesus tells us we were saved to make a difference. Notice what the text says. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Not you should be the salt. You should be the light. Not you will be, but you are right now. In other words, it's not an option whether we're salt or light. It is not an option. We already are. The word "you" here is plural and it's emphatic. It's the only choice we have really is what kind of salt and what kind of light are we going to be. And if you'll think about it with me a little bit, salt and light have one thing in common. They both influence their surroundings. In the ancient world, salt had many uses. Even today, many different uses. In the New Testament and in our day, it adds flavor. It preserves food. It's used for healing. It's used for cleansing. It's used for hydration. I remember as a kid playing baseball, they used to give us salt pills to keep us hydrated. Today, we have Gatorade that's loaded with salt in order to keep us hydrated. It was used in tanning, in dyeing, in bleaching of leather and of wool. It was used in the production of soap and pottery and chlorine. As a matter of fact, salt was so valuable in the ancient world that it was used as currency. As a matter of fact, I learned something this week. Our word salary has its roots in the word salt. As a matter of fact, sometimes you've heard this saying, he or she is not worth their salt. Well, that comes from the ancient world when people were paid in salt. Now, the two most common uses of salt in our day and in the ancient days were flavoring and preserving. Salt enhances the flavor of food, and it changes our tastes as well. We get used to salt. I mean, anyone that's had to go on a low-sodium diet understands how much salt can change our taste. But it's also used for preserving, for keeping things from spoiling. Now, folks, we as Christians ought to be making things better by our very presence and our involvement. We ought to bring out the flavors of eternity and righteousness and grace in this tasteless society. And by our very presence and our activity and our ministry, we slow down the moral and spiritual rot in our world by our influence and by our ministry and by our involvement. As a matter of fact, in the end times, the Bible tells us that once the church is raptured away and our influence is gone, it will only take 7 years for the world to descend into the pit of hell. We have influence, a very positive influence. We also illumine. Light illumines its surroundings. It helps people see clearly. It warns people of danger. I mean, there are lighthouses on the coast with a light that warns people. We have brake lights on our cars and headlights that warn us of danger. It lights the way. And as Christians, our lives and our works ought to shed some light on God and the things of God for those around us. It ought to help us to know something about God. It helps people know from us and from our lives. Matter of fact, some people know more about God because of the way we live and stuff. Our light ought to reveal God's presence and his grace and his truth and his righteousness. It ought to illuminate the dangers of immorality and sin. We really ought to show people the way home to God. Our lives ought to illumine the things of God for people. Back in the 1800s, 1848 to 1849, a series of bloody and violent revolutions spread throughout Europe. France, Germany, Poland, the Austrian Empire were engulfed in these violent and bloody revolutions. Nowhere more violent, nowhere more bloody than France. They were caused by economic recession, by a huge gap between the haves and the have-nots, and by a discontentment with a non-responsive government. And yet, just a few miles across the English Channel, England was spared from a bloody, violent revolution. And most historians say the reason England was spared was because of the life and ministry of one man, John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church. John Wesley preached the gospel. John Wesley ministered to the poor. John Wesley launched hundreds and hundreds of small groups called societies that helped men and women come to know the Word of God in a very powerful way and practically apply that Word to their life. He built schools. He encouraged hospitals. He did all of this. And because of his ministry and the ministry of the men and women who followed him in those small groups, England was spared from this bloody, violent revolution. He was salt and he was light, and one man made a difference in a whole nation. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God saved all of us and made us salt and light, and we can make a difference, and we are making a difference today. Not only does God call us and save us to make a difference, but secondly, this text tells us that to make a difference, we need to stay close to Jesus. Notice the text says, if the salt loses its taste or if the light is hidden, it's worthless. There's no influence. Now, pure salt lasts forever. I mean, you can take a bowl of salt, put it on a table, you can come back 10 years later, and it'll still be salt. But the ancient world, their salt was not pure. It was full of impurities. They would get it from the Dead Sea and other places, and these impurities would contaminate it. And sometimes bad salt would get mixed in with good salt, and it would make it taste horrible. And it would be useless for preserving, for flavor, and anything. As a matter of fact, what they would do, they would throw it out on the roadbeds or even on their rooftops, the flat roofs, harden on the roofs and prevent leakage. On the road, it would harden and make the soil hard so that when it rained, it would still be hard. And literally, it would be trampled on. It would be walked on every day. Folks, nothing will make us lose our effectiveness for the Lord any more than allowing sin into our life. Nothing will make us more ineffective than allowing the world to influence us more than we influence the world. The light, if it was hidden, well, it'd still be a light, but it was useless. A light hidden under a basket didn't help the person who hid it any more than it helped anyone else in the house. And sometimes we can be tempted to hide our lights under a basket of fear that we're going to offend somebody if we talk to them about the Lord, or a fear of being rejected by somebody. We can hide it under a basket of indifference or selfishness. We become so obsessed with ourselves and our safety and our stuff that we forget to let people know who Jesus is and the glory of the gospel. And for sure, sin can be a basket that hides our light and dims it for the world around us. So how do you keep your life pure? How do you resist the temptation of hiding the light under a basket? Well, by staying close to Jesus. When my boys were small, I got them this ball that glowed in the dark one time. And on the box, there was this line. It says, if you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light. If you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light. And folks, that's the same thing that's true for us today. If we want to shine in this dark time, then we have to spend time with Jesus. We have to have a constant exposure to the Son of God and to His Word. That means we spend time in the Word. We spend time in prayer. We worship, not just weekly, but daily. We have a daily time with Jesus where we read His Word and we study, where we pray, where we confess our sins, where we worship Him, where we surrender our wills to Him, where we commit to obeying His Word. Because if we want to make a difference, we need to stay close to Jesus, because He will make us pure and He will help us to be holy, and He will give us the courage and the wisdom and the creativity to let our light shine for the glory of the gospel. And then there's one more thing. If we want to make a difference, not only do we need to realize we're saved to make a difference, God's called us already to be salt and light. The only option is what kind of salt, what kind of light we're going to be. If we're going to make a difference, we've got to stay close to Jesus, because impure salt and a hidden light is useless to everyone. But thirdly, to make a difference, we must make our good works visible. For salt to be useful, it's got to get out of the salt shaker and be spread around. For light to be useful, it must be set up on a lampstand so that everyone can see it. Folks, we're called to be audio-visual Christians. Our saltiness was meant to be tasted. Our light was something to be seen. And by the way, let me just say this. Our light and our saltiness come from Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. We reflect the light that Jesus gives us. We project the saltiness that the Lord has done in our life. So notice the reasons that we're to go public, because I know what some of us are saying. Oh, now, Pastor, I thought we were to be very private with our things and not let the left hand know what the right hand is doing and stuff. Well, look at what Jesus says here. The reason we're to go public, the reason we're to shine before people, is not to show off. It's not to grandstand. It's not to bring our attention to ourselves. Look at what he says in the last part of verse 16. It's so that they may see your good works. The world may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. He said, conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day He visits. Notice here that an honorable life, a godly life, is filled with good works. Do you see the progression here? The law slander us as evildoers. But our good works prove their slander is a lie. And our good works also go on to convict them of their sin and slander so that they turn to God and give him glory on the day of his visitation. In other words, I believe part of that is some of them are saved because they see the good works we do. And when they say, why in the world are you doing what you do? We tell them, no, it's not about me. I'm not doing it because of me. I'm doing it because of what Jesus has done in my life, because of the good works of salvation that Jesus has done in my life. And so how do you do that? How do you go public with your good works? Well, let me wrap this up by sharing some ways that you can get out of the salt shaker, some ways that you can get from underneath the basket and let your light be on the lampstand, ways that you can be the church in these days when we cannot do church like we used to. So here's some things. Number one, take responsibility for yours and your family's spiritual growth and discipleship. Read the Bible together. Use this time to pray together. Use this time to memorize scripture together. This would be a great time to memorize a few scriptures on fear, like we talked about last Sunday, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. That'd be a great verse to memorize. Memorize verses on hope. Give your kids and your teenagers and your spouse and other family members the encouragement of the Word of God. Seek ways to serve one another together. Seek ways to serve your neighbors together. Family devotions would be a wonderful thing to start in these days to keep our focus on God and His truth. We can be more intentional with our lives and with our people. A few weeks ago, I talked to you about the blessed strategy, how you can be more missional in your lives every day. Blessed, the B stands for begin with prayer. We can pray for one another. The L stands for listen. Listen to the needs around you. Be open to that. The E stands for eat together. Now, I realize that we can't have big parties, but we can still invite a neighbor over. We can still share food. We can still take baked goods to our friends and neighbors. We can eat together. The first S is to serve. We can find ways to serve one another in the house. We can find ways to serve our neighbors. We can, for example, call our friends and our neighbors and our church folk on the phone and say, hey, how are you doing? Is there anything you need? We'll serve you. As a matter of fact, listen to me. If you're a senior adult or you're at risk and you have a need for somebody to run an errand for you, you don't need to get out in this climate right now. We will be glad to do that for you. All you've got to do is call the church office, and we've got a bunch of people that have volunteered to do that. And so we'll link you up with them. They'll call you, find out what you need, and they'll go as best they can try to find it. Now, they may not be able to find everything you need, but they can for sure help you. So we can find ways to serve one another, serve our neighbors. And then finally is the share. We can share the good news. People ask us, why are you not full of fear? Why didn't you go out and find all that toilet paper and stuff? What's going on with you? And you can simply say, well, it's not me, it's Jesus. Since Jesus has come into my life, he's helped me deal with fear. I know God's got this, and I know God's got my life, and I'm trusting him. Those are wonderful things you can do. Some other things you can do is just be open to divine appointments. Somebody talks to you, you can pray with them. Your neighbor waves at you, you can do a conversation. Just be open to those divine interruptions, holy interruptions, I call them and stuff. You can offer to pray with or for other people. As you meet with them, say, hey, how can I pray for you during this time? This is kind of an unsettling time. How can I be praying for you? Or you can pray every day for opportunities. God, give me an opportunity today to be a blessing to somebody, to encourage somebody. One simple thing that we could do is we could spend more time in the front yard. If you've got a front porch, spend some time on the front porch when people are walking. I've noticed in our neighborhood, people are walking a lot more than they used to. At the park, people are walking a lot more. So when people walk by, wave at them. Say, how you doing? Maybe strike up a conversation. Instead of spending time inside or back in the back, be on your front porch. Lou and I have been doing that lately. We sat out on our front porch and talk to our neighbors and wave at them, wave at the kids and stuff. It's a great way to strike up conversations. Another thing you can do is call and check on and encourage your friends and neighbors. You can do it door to door. You can call them on the phone, or you can use Facebook. You can use the church directory that you have. to call up people in our church and just check on them, encourage them. That's great. We've had people come by the church office this week. That just one lady brought us some donuts and stuff. It's just been a great way of encouraging one another. You can write and send notes of encouragement or text. This is a great activity for kids. Let them write notes of encouragement and then mail them. You know, that'd be a novel thing, huh? Mail them or send a text to somebody just to encourage people. Everybody needs some encouragement. For those of you who are NBC members, you have access to Right Now Media. Wouldn't it be a great idea, instead of sitting in front of Netflix or sitting in front of Amazon, sit in front of Right Now Media? There are literally thousands of great teaching videos, some movies, some wonderful kids' videos. Get the popcorn, get the Cokes out, and have a movie night and watch some great teaching. There's some great stuff on fear, on dealing with failure, on all kinds of things like that. There's all kinds of things. You could do that. Maybe invite a neighbor over to help and watch those with you. You can share baked goods. If you don't bake, you can go to the store and buy some donuts or something and share with your neighbors. You can put it in a bag, put a note on it, and hang it on their doorknob. Knock on the door and then go if you don't want to have that kind of contact, but you can do that. You can prayer walk your neighborhood. That's something Lou and I try to do. We walk up and down our neighborhood and our streets, and we try to pray for every house and every family. And people will sometimes stop us. We'll have a conversation, and then we'll say, oh, by the way, we're just walking around praying for everybody, and I was wondering, how can we be praying for you? It's a great way to pray and to meet your neighbors. You know, when things kind of settle down a little bit, you can have a front yard barbecue and a game night. Break out the cornhole, break out things, and invite your neighbors over. And especially when they lift the ban of gathering, well, what a great way to celebrate. Have people over and celebrate and be together with one another. And here's one that you might not have thought about. You can practice a Sabbath. You can turn off all the digital, all the TV, all that stuff, and tune into God. A Sabbath is a time of rest. It is a time of recreation, to recreate, to enjoy one another. It's a time of, we can read God's word, we can read. As a matter of fact, and the Jews used to start the Sabbath on the Friday night with a very nice meal. They would cook a meal, they would put candles on the table, bring out their best china, and they would sit around the table and thank God and then just take time to enjoy the food, not wolf it down, but take time. And where we got to go, right? The movie theaters are closed, everything's closed, so just take time to share the meal. It doesn't have to be fancy, but just share the meal, take time to enjoy it, and then talk with one another. How's it going? And just enjoy that time. And then the rest of the time, just rest. You can read a book. You can have a family reading time. You can just rest, take a nap. That would be a good thing for some of us. You can spend time together playing, break out the cards and break out the family games and just enjoy that time. Spend some time in the Word of God and worship. Put on some praise music. Put on some music that will lift you up. What a great time. What a great opportunity. Since we can't go anywhere, since we're limited, why don't we practice the Sabbath? I think that'd be a blessing for many. And there's so many more. A few weeks ago, I did a handout with 100 different ways you can be a friend to your neighbor. And so we'll try to post that online and stuff. But there's just a lot of ways we can do. You see, Jesus saved us to make a difference in the world. And folks, listen to me. The world today needs to see Jesus more than it ever has. And we can help them. We can help them taste a little bit of what it means to be a believer. We can help them see just a little clearly more about Jesus and his grace and his goodness. We are called to be salt and light in this world. You know, our world is so broken. Life is so fragile. I mean, we're seeing it now more clearly than ever. People think that hoarding toilet paper and other stuff is going to make them feel secure and it's going to fix it. Well, it doesn't, does it? You see, God's original design was very, very different. God's original design was perfect. His way was perfect. Peace reigned. Life flourished. But we decided we preferred another way, our own way. And so we disobeyed God because we saw something we wanted more than God. And that attitude was called sin. And it's infected everyone and everything around us. No one is immune. And the Bible says that it will eventually kill us all unless something is done. And the bad news is, no matter how hard we've tried, We can't come up with a fix. We haven't come up with a cure yet. We think education will do it, and it's not done it. We think government will do it, and it's not done it. We even think religion will do it, but that religion can't fix us. We've tried all this stuff, and it reminds us that we can't. We need help. We need literally a someone to save us. And the good news is God sent his son as the cure for our sin infection. Jesus Christ, he lived a sin-free life, and he died on the cross as a perfect sacrifice for every one of our sins, past, present, and future. He was buried in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead to prove that he was indeed the Savior, because he had conquered the ultimate consequence of our sin, which is death. But like any other cure, like any other vaccination, we have to receive that personally. It's not just enough to know there's a cure. It's not even just enough to see other people take the cure and be cured. At some point, we must personally receive it. And the Bible says we receive Jesus as Savior and Lord by turning from our sinful ways and attitudes. That's called repentance. We realize that the thing we preferred is a bad thing. It's a deadly thing. And our hearts are grieved, and we're broken by that. And we realize we're going the wrong way. And then we turn in faith to Jesus Christ, to trust him to save us, to trust him to be our Lord, to follow him every day with our life. And when we do that, the Bible says God gives us a new life. Not just a better life, not just a reformed life. He gives us a brand new life. The Bible says we become new creations. We become new creations who are forgiven. We become new creations who experience life in all of its abundancy. And we become new creations who will live with the Lord forever and ever in a place called heaven. And today, the thing that I want you to know most of all is that Jesus cares for you. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity to commit your life to him. To simply say yes to the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I tell our people all the time, I love the word whosoever in the Bible. I'm so glad he didn't just say the good people or the smart people or the young people or the intelligent people or the whatever kind of people. No, he said whosoever. Whosoever means anyone can. And as we call on the Lord through prayer and we simply say, dear Lord, I admit to you that I've sinned. I admit to you that I preferred my own way to your way. I admit to you that I have broken your rules and I have broken my own rules. Dear God, please forgive me. Dear God, I confess to you now that I'm a sinner and I want to trust you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Help me. Help me. And you know what the Bible says? God does that and he can do that for you. So I want to pray for you right now and invite you to know Christ. So Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for every person that's watching this online, that Father, you would help each one of us to know that we all have a huge problem called sin. And if something is not done, it's going to eventually kill us all. But Father, thank you that in your goodness and in your grace, you sent Jesus to die on the cross for every one of our sin, to be buried in the ground and raised from the dead on the third day to show that he was who he claimed to be, and he could conquer sin and death. And so, Father, right now I pray for each person that they would simply turn their life over to you. And they would simply right now just say to you simple words like this. Lord, I admit to you that I've sinned against you. I've preferred my way to your way. And I'm so sorry. I need your help today. Would you please forgive me of my sin? Would you please give me the faith I need to follow you every day? Would you please give me the new life that you promised? Thank you for what you've done. I'm not going to trust my feelings, but I'm going to trust your word. And your word is always true, and your promises have never been broken. Thank you now that I'm forgiven, that I have abundant life, and that now I'll live with you forever. In Jesus' name, Amen. Listen to me. If you prayed that prayer with me, I want you to know something. The angels are celebrating with you in heaven right now. There's a new life that has been birthed in you. And I want to encourage you, if you prayed that prayer with me, would you just simply send a message to me on Facebook to let me know that you've prayed that prayer? Because when you do that, I'm going to give you a link to some information, some material that will help you grow as a Christian. I want to know your name so I can pray for you, so I can let our people pray for you. I want to be able to help you. So if you'll do that, that will be great. I'll be praying for you. Just a reminder, tonight at 6 o'clock, I'm going to be doing a Facebook Live call to prayer. And I'm going to read some scripture, and then we're just going to have a prayer time, a guided prayer time, as we pray for our nation, and we pray for our country, and we pray for God's hand of mercy on our land. And then Wednesday night, don't forget, at 6 o'clock, I'll be doing a Facebook Live. Again, a prayer time and a Bible study. I hope it'll be an encouraging time to you. Next Sunday, we'll do another service like this. There'll be a link on our church Facebook page. You just click that link, and you'll be able to watch the video again. And we'll let you know about any other services and what plans. When we know, you'll be the first to know. So God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. And just know this. God loves us. He cares for us. And this is a good word. Don't be afraid, for God is with us. Don't fear, because he is our God. He will strengthen us. He will help us. And he will uphold us with his right hand. God bless. I love you. And so does Jesus.